Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. I am the pastor of Center of Spirit and Truth, located at 11663 Arcola in Livonia, Michigan. Today we have a very awesome opportunity to share the Word of God. It's been given to us by Brother James Brown. He saw fit to allow us to share in his worldwide platform, and we couldn't be more blessed when think of it. A greater opportunity to come before the people of God and be able to share the Word of God. But before we ever go into anything, any serious undertaking, it is more than fitting, more than appropriate that we first go before the throne of grace. And so with that being said, I would like to invite all of you to just pray with me as we just entreat the Lord and ask Him to bless this opportunity to share the gospel. Eternal God, our Father, in Jesus' name, we humbly come before you, thanking you for this opportunity to share your gospel in the highways and the byways on this virtual radio airwaves as well as the internet to allow some soul out there the opportunity to hear your word and ultimately be able to, Lord, make a decision concerning their conversion. Also, make a decision concerning their Christian walk, that, Lord, that they will be able to hear a word and it transform their lives. We have a great expectation on today, God, that you will move in a miraculous way, that you will allow somebody to be touched by your presence, even more so than just the host of this show, even more so than even us speaking today. I ask, Lord, that your presence be felt, that you allow yourself to be revealed to each and every person under the sound of my weak voice. Lord, I trust you, and I believe that it is so. In Jesus' name, gladly say amen. Listen, thank you for joining us today. Surely you could have been anywhere else doing anything else, but you chose to impart your time with us and share in this gospel experience. One of the things I would like to do is, as the host of the show, it's a very new show, I would like to tell you about who I am and tell you more about this show before we even go into what we're hosting today. Once again, my name is Jose Dorsey, and I grew up in the city of Detroit, just a little boy that grew up in the projects. From a very young age, God had his hand on my life. Rather than actually being out in the streets and selling drugs and part of the element that was all around me, God really touched my heart, and he had something else on his agenda for me. Hey, listen, if you're on this site right now and you're tuned in, if you don't mind, could you please mute your telephones or mute your communication device so we don't distract the other listeners? Thank you so kindly. Greatly appreciate it. But, see, God had something on his agenda for me because he did not see fit that I get involved in a lot of the negative influences around me. So one of the things that he did, he called me into ministry. So being called into ministry took on its different challenges in my life, and so I was placed with the heavy burden of being an orator of God's word. Not just that, he placed an even heavier burden on my heart because he gave me a pastoral ministry that I would go forward and not only preach the word but also have an opportunity to pastor a flock. And that brought me to the Center of Spirit and Truth over in Livonia, Michigan, a little humble ministry. We're a very intimate-sized congregation, but I can tell you it's been truly one of the most proudest ministerial experiences that I ever had. Why? Because the people of God truly love each other. They truly love on each other, and it's so genuine. If you're somewhere where you don't feel the love because you have different things and hindrances in your life, roadblocks, and life is just yelling at you all at the same time, and you need a place where you can feel love, come to the Center of Spirit and Truth and allow us to share the love of Christ with you. Allow us to walk beside you in discipleship as well. So the Lord brought me to this congregation of people, and we have been on fire for the Lord ever since. Words cannot express to you how awesome an experience it has been and how proud I am to pastor this flock. Speaking of this show, Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey, I didn't want the show to be so much about myself as it is about us actually coming together and discussing some really deep theological issues. The reason being because many people have different things that concern their spirit or worry their spirit or even might cause them to not make a conversion decision. And it is my direst prayer that God allowed this opportunity of sharing the gospel in this capacity to go for it so that people will actually hear a word and actually be changed or be able to call in or be able to be a guest on this show where they can actually express their different desires or express their different concerns regarding some things that might be a conflict in a word or some things that we might not understand or even some things that have different cultural relativity from the biblical days than postmodern times. So I'm praying that this word is able to go forward over the airways. One of the things that we're going to do is we're going to have preach sermons where we actually come and preach a word. Different guests, we expect different guests to come onto the show and share with you from their hearts, be able to have like a talk show kind of setup where we actually discuss some of these theological issues. Let me tell you something about your host in that regard. I am not afraid to talk about some of the harder topics to discuss. One of the issues that I'm actually discussing right now in my college, I currently attend Grand Canyon University Online in a doctoral program. I'm studying for the Doctor of Education and Organizational Leadership with an emphasis in Christian ministry. I'm not afraid to address issues such as relativism. Relativism is a very serious issue, a very serious concern and influence in the world today. Why do I say that? Because relativism simply is people doing what they see fit and making that the law, making that something that they live by, certain traditions. And the problem is when we take these traditions, we take these cultural norms, and we place them above the Word of God. So how do the church respond to those? Well, your host, me, I'm not afraid to react to those circumstances and situations. I'm not afraid to address them head on. I'm not afraid to talk about the hard topics like homosexuality and how it's impacting the church. I'm not afraid to talk about real life issues like what do you do when you feel like your back is against the wall? What do you do when you don't feel loved or you feel depressed? What do you do? And those are the type of issues that we're definitely going to address when we're theologically speaking with Jose Dorsey. So now I would ask that you draw in your mind from all the outside hindrances, allow you to open up your heart and your mind to receive a word from the Lord on today, because today we're featuring a sermon entitled A Word in Season. Today we're going to be speaking about a word in season. Very briefly, I want to ask that you turn your Bibles with me to the book of 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, going to the 15th verse. Amen. 1 Peter 3 and 15. And the Bible reads, "But in your heart honor Christ, the Lord, as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." I'll read it again. "But in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect." Amen. Once again, I just want to speak from the topic of a word in season, a word in season. Understand as we go forward into this message, there may be some editorial because this is also a talk show. But many of us throughout our lives, we find ourselves dealing with situations where we find ourselves with our backs up against the wall. We find ourselves in situations where we feel unloved or we feel the weight of the world pressing upon us all at the same time. So much pressure, it causes us to sometimes not even understand our direction, not understand our focus, to sometimes even get off the path. But today I want to tell you that you should be able to stand firmly on the faith. Stand firmly on the faith knowing that it's in Him we live, it's in Him we move, it's in Him that we have our being. I want to tell somebody today that you are a child of the King, you are a child of God, and you do not have to walk around with a defeated countenance, because not only does He love you, but He so loved you. How much do He love you? He loved you so much that He thought you were to die for. So as you see, sometimes you're going to find yourself in situations where you don't know how to respond to the world, respond to the issues that plague you. Well, I submit to you that this sermonic message should be one that you can stand on in times where you need a little bit of hope, where you need a little bit of support, where you need a little bit of encouragement. Your faith should be something that you can stand on, because faith without works is dead. So because you have faith now, you can face that giant and you can climb that mountain and you can dare to be the one person that provides the light, because God says, "Let your light shine that men might see it. They might recognize it, not glorify you, but glorify your Father in heaven." And so here it is. Understand that as you're letting that light shine, people are going to look at you and they're going to marvel at you and they're going to say that you are peculiar. Peculiar because you should have had your head down. You should have been defeated. You should have walked around totally with no hope and lost. But instead, there's a hope that's inside of you. There's a zeal inside of you. There's something about you that you will not be quenched. You will not let them throw in the towel on you. You will not let them just stabbing you in the back and you lay down and feel defeated. There's a fire, a spark, a zeal inside of you that only God has placed there. And so God, because He has placed that spark, that light inside of you that so shines, somebody at some given time is going to come to you and they're going to ask you why. Why do you still have a hope when it seems like there's hopelessness? Why do you still carry a smile on your face when it seems like everybody has turned their back on you all at the same time? Why does it seem like even though your house burned down, there's something about you that no, God has still been good? Why is it that even though you still got your bridge card, even though you still have low resources, that you can still carry an upbeat countenance? Why is it that even in the midst of all of your frustration, your feeling of being unloved, your feeling of being depressed, can you walk around and still have this hope? I submit to you today that we ought to always be ready to give a defense for the faith that is inside of us. Always be armed, always be equipped with a word in season. The Bible teaches us to be instant in season and out of season. What that means is you ought to always be ready with a word. It shouldn't catch you off guard when someone actually comes to you and wants to know about the faith to which you believe. Why do you say it's in him you live, move, and have your being? Why is it that you call him Lord of Lords and King of Kings? Who is this Jesus that you revere so much? Well, if you're armed with a word in season, you ought to be able to tell him that he lived and he died and he rose for your salvation and justification. You ought to be armed with a word in season where you can tell him that my Christ was raised up high. And he said that if I be raised, oh, I wish I was speaking to somebody today. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. And so here we are drawn before his presence. You ought to be able to allow people to be uplifted with a word in season. Well, as we look into this text, what we find here is that from the very beginning of the chapter, Peter is talking, he's talking to the husbands and he's talking to the wives, and he's actually laying out Christian conduct for the marriage. We'll totally get into that at some other time, but not today. I would like to skip your gaze down into verse 8. I got to back the text up so we can make sure that we mention not just the text, but we also have to give the context. I heard a preacher say that text without context is just pretext. Sometimes we're speaking out of order if we don't bring the complete order to the entire text. So, Bible reads from verse 8, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Notice how he's laying out Christian character and Christian conduct. Do not repay evil for evil. See, that's one of the ways of the world. Cut me in my face, I stab you. You better not come near me and looking at me crazy. You step on my toe, I kill you. Those are the ways of the world. But the way of the Christian is to sit back and see the salvation of the Lord, trusting and believing God, because it's not for us to take the vengeance, because God says that vengeance is mine. I will repay, said the Lord. But on the contrary, bless, for this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Truthfulness should abide with inside of us. Understand that Peter is just continually laying out the Christian character and the tongue. Let me just speak on this real quick before I dare go a step further. The tongue is one of the most divisive members of the body. It's one of the strongest things you actually have. You might think that your muscles are in your arms, or your pectoral muscles might be strongest, or maybe your thigh, because those are the biggest muscles in your thighs, but it's actually your tongue. Because out of your tongue, you can speak certain things that can cause certain things to happen in somebody else's life. If you don't believe me, tell a child that they ain't nothing, ain't never going to be nothing, and that they have low expectation and see want it take root in their lives. Turn around and tell another child that you can, yes, you can do it, yes, you will do it, you will be successful, you are a champion, and see don't those words take root in somebody's life. Even you, when you're speaking the words inside of your mind, yes, when you're thinking, see what happens when you begin to think negative thoughts. Yes, you're talking, your tongue is actually happening in your mind. I wish I was preaching. Because you're having negative talk or positive talk inside your head. So watch what happens in your life when you begin to continually have negative talk. Watch what happens on the other side when you continually think positive things and you begin to have positive thoughts in your life. And you speak truthfully. When you speak truthfully, watch how people begin to deal with you, how people begin to trust you, how people begin to impart certain favor into your life. Let them turn away from evil and do good. Once again, Christian character, let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord upon righteousness, and his ears are open to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. So here we see how much it is that Peter is actually uplifting a righteous character, the character that should be each and every one of us as Christians. Now, who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? My brother and sister, I have to pause right there because some people would take this scripture to interpret that we have protection because we actually choose to do good.
You don't give him an offer?
You do and you don't. Let me break it down to you like this, unpack it while you're sitting there. I want you to know that there are some things in life that God would not shield you from. That means that everything is not going to be peachy king because you're saved, because you're a believer, because you pursue righteousness. Everything is not going to go exactly the way you want it to go. So during those times of hardship, when things come against you, the Bible is teaching us right here, don't even be afraid. It says, but even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, notice that it says, even if you should suffer, which means that you may suffer in time. And so if you may suffer in times, understand that there are just some things that God would not shield you from, because some of those things we must suffer through. If God brings you to it, understand that he will definitely see you through it. And so because there are some things that he will not shield from you, understand that even those things are still going to work things together for your good. But the Bible teaches us that those things, that all things work together for the good of those that love the Lord and are called according to his purposes. That even if you have to suffer for righteousness' sake, know that you will be blessed. See, that's the place where you can smile. That's the place where you can lift your hands and give God a shout, give him a praise, give him a worship, because he still yet made a provision for you. I got to hurry up because here's my time. It said, have no fear of them, nor be troubled.
What is it?
Don't let it bother you. Don't let it keep you from pursuing your goals. Don't let it keep you from continuing on in your Christian walk. Don't let it cause you to falter or fumble, but you stay with your eyes focused on Christ Jesus. It said, but in your hearts, here we get to our text, but in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy. That one part of this script, that a clause of the 15th verse is going to be something that so many people get stumped on, simply because they cannot receive and honor Christ as Lord and as holy. Why? Because we want to make Christ anything other than God himself wrapped up in flesh, who came, lived, died, and rose for our salvation and justification. Oh, Christianity is too strict. I don't want to do that. There's so many don't do's. Well, there's so many things that you can do. And understand that because there are so many things that you can do, like be saved from a burning hell, there's so many things you can do, like give an awesome God a praise, give an awesome God a worship, lift up holy hands with your brothers and sisters, come together and worship him together. There's so many different things that you can do. So, but in your hearts, honor Christ, the Lord is holy. People are going to fall right there. But it says, always, watch this, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is within you. You ought to always be able to let somebody know that he lived, died, and he rose. You ought to always let somebody know the reason why you converted, the reason why you trust him, the reason why in the midst of your calamity you can still lift your face towards heaven and say, I yield, I yield. You just surrender yourself unto God, and you should be able to share that experience with them. And not even just that. Also be equipped with the word so that when they're struggling in their life, you can take them right into the word and show them how they can make it practical to their lives today. I wish somebody can see that there's very little difference between a witness and a preacher. Wow, somebody going to take that home with them today. There's very little difference between a witness and a preacher. Why? Because both are still sharing the gospel. So on this show, one of the things that we plan to do is always be armed with the word that's going to uplift people, always armed with the word to help somebody see that even through those thick situations in your life, we're going to find a space where we can speak to that thing. Sit that thing down right in front of us and begin to do some theological thinking and some theological speaking so we can find out what exactly does the word say about this situation. Heard somebody say, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus do if he found out? I'm sorry, not found out. He already know. If he was right here in your presence right now, what would Jesus do if he was confronted with that situation? What does it say in his word? Don't tell me something about what other people might say or what other people might think or what other people might do. Don't share with me your philosophies. Don't share with me your opinions. But I would like to know, theologically speaking, what does the word say about that situation? We're going to always be ready to give a reason for the hope that is inside of us. We have hope because we know that we have eternal security. The Bible says that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. To me, that is truth, but to the unbeliever, that is a stumbling block. It's a stumbling block because they have yet to receive Christ as King, Christ as Lord, Christ as God wrapped up in the flesh. But to you and I who are believers, to us, it is eternal security that we're rescued from the penalty of what we deserve. The Bible teaches us in Romans 6 and 23 that the wages of sin is death. How do you wish to pay, my friend? How can you pay? Would it be cash, check, or charge? I submit to you today that you do not have enough. Because it takes neither one of those things to pay the debt. It takes the blood of Christ, who knew no sin, but yet he was treated like he did everything wrong so you and I could be treated like we did everything right. That is the hope and zeal that is inside of us. And lastly, I would like to impression upon of us, each and every one of us that, as believers, while you're sharing, while you're helping people see that hope that is inside of you, please don't forget this last clause of verse 15. When the Bible says, yet do it with gentleness and respect. The Jehovah Witness believe something different than I believe. The Baha'i Faith, they believe something different than what I believe. Understand that there are some, the Muslims, he believes something different than Hinduism. They believe something completely different than what we believe. Respect the fact that they believe something different. Respect them, because how would you feel if one of them came to you and they were actually speaking negatively about what you believe? So a level of gentleness. Gentleness does not mean that I agree with what you believe. It does not mean that, but it means that I am tender about what you do believe, that I'm not trying to offend you. And sharing with you the differences in our faith and sharing with you my faith does not mean that I'm not respectful either. So on the show, that's the crux of what we will be doing here. We're standing ready to give a word in season. We'll be taking on those issues, and we will be theologically speaking. So I'm hoping today that we've shared a word to help you understand exactly where we will be coming from with this show. I'm very intentional. I'm very purposeful. And I'm hoping and praying that as you tune in that you'll understand exactly the intent of this show. I'm hoping and praying that someone is touched somewhere, that as they tune in and they speak with us and they listen on, that they'll be encouraged, that somebody, if they're at the edge of making a decision, that they'll make a conversion decision. Now, ultimately, that somebody would be helped in their faith walk. As we talk about different things regarding Christian conduct, that your faith walk be actually enhanced, that you be strengthened in your walk. Hey, listen, my time is just about up. I just want to once again say that this is Jose Dorsey, and your host, and you've been theologically speaking with Jose Dorsey. I want to tell you that I bring you greetings, and I'm coming once again from the Center of Spirit and Truth. It's located in Livonia at 11663 Arcola. If you are ever in our area and you so see fit, please stop in and see us. Stop in and have some prayer with us. Let us love on you. If you're looking for a place of worship or you're looking for a place that you would just like to come and receive a good word, not a fake environment. We're not trying to dress up and prove any points to anyone, but we are truly seeking to worship God in spirit and in truth. Once again, thank you for joining us for Theologically Speaking with Jose Dorsey. God bless.